Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. We thank the Lord. Sister Tressa has a wonderful testimony. She was prayed for the other night, and God healed her of allergies and asthma. The test came back normal, and we're thanking the Lord for that. He's a healer. Amen. Glory to God. Can you go ahead and be seated, and I'll probably preach first of all. Let's recognize Isaiah. Where is Isaiah? Okay, thank you, Garen, for that report. We appreciate that. So we'll recognize Isaiah later. I'll probably preach, but I'm at least going to talk to you and share with you some scriptures on my heart. Go to Psalms, 30th chapter. You don't have to stand. We're just going to talk for a little while. 30th chapter of Psalms. You know, a few years ago, when I was in the Bloomington Hospital, learned that I was having a heart attack, and they said, we're not going to let you go. We're going to keep you here. We got to do surgery. Going to do open heart surgery, a bypass surgery, all of that stuff. The Lord, I began to pray and ask the Lord for a word. You ever just needed a word? And first thing I asked for my wife, for my family to bring me, of course, was my Bible. And so wasn't alone very much there. My wife kept me company, my kids and family, but during one of those alone times, I just opened my Bible. I said, Lord, I just need you to give me a word. And this chapter has become one of my favorite chapters because it spoke to me. And he gave me this word in the book of Psalms chapter 30. Now this, by the way, this is a psalm that was penned by David. Most commentators and scholars believe that he penned this particular psalm when he was being persecuted by Saul, and Saul was after him for his life, you remember that, and he was running, fleeing, and he wrote some beautiful psalms during those times of his life. He said, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. He said, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. I liked that. When I was in the hospital, thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness, for his anger endureth but for a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Can you see why that blessed me there? In my time of need and desperation, the Lord gave me this chapter to read. Now, I'll tell you, I clung to, and I've really read and reread and been thankful for those first five verses. By the way, it's good to see Sister Tina back. We've missed her for all these weeks. And we're glad you're back, sister. She's still recovering. So we're going to pray her one row at a time back to her seat. Amen. As she gets better, she'll be back up here. I told her, we're keeping your seat for you. Good thing you didn't come this morning. We reserved seats today. You wouldn't have had a seat today. But anyway, we would have made a seat for you. I really read and reread those first five verses. But the other day I was reading this chapter again, and verse 6 stood out to me when David said, in my prosperity. Here in verses 1 through 5, he speaks from his need. He's speaking from desperation. But he began to think about how that in his prosperity, he said, when I was doing well, when everything was together and everything was good, this is what he said. He said, in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Yeah? Ever been there? It's easy to talk a certain way when everything's going good. When I was prospering, I said, I'll never be moved. I will never be shaken. Lord, by thy favor. Would you say, by thy favor? Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Now, this is, by the way, I don't believe that David here is speaking about a mountain of opposition, but he's speaking about a mountain of faith, a mountain of strength, a mountain of endurance. And he says, Lord, had it not been for you, I know I would have crumbled, I would have fallen. But because, now notice this here, he's saying, by thy favor, it wasn't because of my strength. Even though in my prosperity, I said, I'll never be moved. I'll never be shaken. I'll whip any devil that comes my way. He said, Lord, I came to realize that it was only by your favor. It wasn't by my might. It wasn't by my power, my strength, but by your power, Lord, and by your favor. Had it not been for the favor of the Lord, he said, my mountain of faith would have crumbled. My mountain of resolve would have quickly disappeared. But because of your favor, my mountain stood strong. And thou didst, now look at this, thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. This stood out to me the other day as I was studying and praying, and the Lord showed me that little phrase, Lord, by thy favor. By thy favor, you've kept me strong. But also, by your favor, you did hide your face. Now, we can shout when I talk about the Lord keeping us strong and our mountain being strong, but it gets quiet when we talk about that the same favor that lets you flex your muscle and say, I'll never be moved. That same favor of God that lets the mountain of your faith remain intact. The same favor may sometimes hide God's face. We struggle with that sometimes because when we think about favor, we think about favoritism. We think about favor, we think about acts of things that make us feel happy and joyful and ecstatic and excited. When we talk about favor, we don't normally think about things like the Lord hiding his face from us. But the simple fact of the matter is, we don't always know what we need. God wants us to not just start this race, but finish this race. And so there are times, you mentioned it a while ago, there are times I don't even know what I need to pray. I don't even know, if I tried to tell the Lord, you know, order up what I needed, I don't even know sometimes. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I don't even know what I need sometimes. I think I do, I feel like I do, but there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So my compass, my personal compass of what God should do, when he should do it, how he should do it, how quickly he should do it, it's just askew, it's off. If I try to go by my own understanding, it's off. If I try to tell God, we kind of mentioned it a little bit this morning, if I try to tell God what to do, how to do it, I'll mess it up every single time. And God knows that, just like a good parent knows that there are times when you rush to your children, but there are times when you let your children stand on their own a little bit. I'm not going to lose all the mamas here, am I? Come on now. There's times where, see, mamas and daddies are different. Mamas teach kids to swim. They get in the water with them and hold them and bounce them around, splash a little water, and now kick your legs, now do this, now paddle. Daddies will just kind of throw them out there and say, swim. Maybe not that extreme, but there are people that do that. The fact of the matter is, God's a good father. He knows exactly what we need. He knows there's times where we need him to just hold us and cuddle us and love on us. But there's times where, see, I wouldn't be here if there weren't some times where God just said, all right, Ron, you gotta stand on your two feet right now. You gotta stand up and just everything that you've learned, everything that you know, everything that you said that you are. You said when everything was going well yesterday, before your heart attack, you were saying, I'll never be moved. And now you're having a heart attack and the doctors are saying this and that, and your history says this and that, and your genetics say this and that, and your great-grandpa died at the age you are right now. I'm not at church shouting right now. I don't have people preaching to me right now. I'm not singing in the choir, playing the keys right now. Not there, not in the hospital room. And I felt like there were times where it's kind of like, you ever had a day, you know, those days where there's clouds in the sky and the sun will shine, and then all of a sudden the sun is darkened, and then the sun will shine, and then the clouds will roll in. I was having one of those moments where I would get in here and, oh man, look at this scripture the Lord gave me, Brother Southern. I will not die. My soul is still alive. He will not take me down to the pit. He will bring me out of the pit. Yes, bless God. And a few hours later, I'd be sitting there weeping. Sunshine, clouds, sunshine. And I discovered this through the whole ordeal, and some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. God knows just when to show up, and he knows just when to kind of step behind the lattice and say, walk this for a few minutes here. Stand up now. Come on, you can do this. Amen. And it's those times of just kind of, there's times where God, he kind of hides his face. And this is what David said. Would you leave that up there? And that's what David said. He said, Lord, by your favor, thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. Does God allow his people to experience trouble? This side of the room says yes. Oh, let me come over here. What say ye? Does a loving God who favors his people, will he let us experience trouble? You better say yes, because if you say no, something's wrong, because every one of us have experienced trouble and never been left and never been forsaken. And so if the only way that God's people can experience trouble is if he unadopts us, if that's a word, or disowns us, then we all in trouble. Amen. There's mountaintops in this walk with the Lord, but there's valleys too. There's days where I'm going to laugh and rejoice and be glad, and there's days where I'll have Job moments where I say, Lord, why'd you even bring me into this situation? I don't get this. I don't understand this. Lord, I look over here. I can't find you. I go forward. I go backward. I go to the right. I go to the left. I don't even know where you are, you know. And you have those moments, and you're still God's child. God, he already told us, Brother Gunnerman, he's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. And just because you let your children stand on their own two feet once in a while does not mean you've forsaken your children. It means you know at this particular time what they need is just to kind of walk through this. They'll be stronger because of this. And it's not that God is withdrawing his favor. There are times where God will hide his face. Doesn't mean he can't see you. My grandson, Lennox, is he in the room? You know, he has, I just wanted to see if he'd look up here when I said his name, but he has this deal. You know, your kids go through this, some really cute phases, but right now, if he does, I don't know if he's still doing it, but there for a while, if he did this, he thought he was invisible. You couldn't see him when he did this. Now, the thing is, you can't see my face when I do this, but I can still see you. I might hide my face. See, God never just disappears. He's omnipresent, you know. He's never just gone. He's always there. If you believe that, then you've got to believe that even on the days when you don't even feel him. Was it last week we sang that song, Waymaker, or was it the week before? 2 weeks ago. Sister Shelley sings that one part where she says, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't understand you're working, even when I don't feel it, you're working, even when I don't see it, you're working. He's always there working on our behalf, watching us, loving us, keeping us. You may not see him. You may not feel him. You may not sense it. I don't know who I'm trying to encourage tonight, but the Lord told me to share this with you, that he's always there. In my prosperity, I said, I'll never be moved. But then, Lord, in your favor, you hid your face from me. And I was troubled. And I cried to the Lord. And I made my supplication. And verse 11 says, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. If all we ever did was dance, first of all, you'd wear out. But secondly, dancing's not that exciting if that's all you ever do. Every once in a while, we need something to juxtapose against the joy, just so we can appreciate the joy. You'd never enjoy a mountaintop if you didn't experience some valleys. And can I tell you, there's some things you'll pick up in the valley you won't get on the mountains. And you'll be glad you gathered it in the valley. When you get up to the mountains, they're just things. God knows each experience, each step, everything we need. He knows. He's already got it all laid out for us. You with me? Let me show you this in Proverbs chapter 3. Just talking. Maybe it'll bless somebody. Go up verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments for length of days and long life and peace. That's what we all would like. Shall they add to thee? If we do it God's way, we'll have long life and we'll have peace. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. If you lean to your own understanding, if you depend on your own understanding, if you look to your own understanding, I'm telling you, there are experiences that you will go through, there are valleys that you will go through, that if you are looking to yourself for help and understanding, you'll be very discouraged. But he says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. And honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. God says, if you will do this the way I have instructed you to do it, if you will live the way. He says, when it comes to your giving, don't bring me what's left. Bring me the first fruits. Bring it to me first. And then he says, I will bless you so much, your barns will be filled. You don't have to worry about filling up your own barns. Just bring the first fruits to me of all your increase, and so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Even as a father the Son in whom he delighteth. You love your kids, parents? Correct them when they need corrected. You hearing me? Scold them when they need scolded. That's the way the Lord is with us. So if you love your, if you really love your kids, you don't withhold correction. You provide it when they need it. Why? Not because you enjoy correcting them, but because you got the long haul in mind. You're thinking about the end. You're thinking about one of these days, that precious little girl, that precious little boy that's so cute right now and so hard to correct. You ever see these parents? I wish I could correct them, but they give me that look. You better watch that. That little cute look isn't so cute in 10 years from now. Right now, they just flashing those baby blues and blinking those big eyelashes, and you just melt and say, I just can't correct that, my little girl. I can't correct my little boy. But then 10 years from now, when they're telling you where to go as they walk out the door, however they want to walk out the door, let me hear you say that then. Well, I just can't. I do that. They just look so cute. No, they don't look cute anymore. So if you love them, you think ahead. If I don't correct this, they're going to act like that. I think I'll deal with this so they don't get to that. And the Lord's the same way with us. You see something in a child, what do? You start thinking about it. You start praying about it. You start working on it. You talk to them. Now, honey, I saw this attitude of yours, and I know you don't want to hear this, and I know you don't want to receive it, and I know this isn't pleasant, but if I don't say this to you, ain't nobody else going to say it, because nobody loves you like I love you. So I'm going to tell you hard stuff to hear. Every one of my kids know. We'll tell them. My wife, especially, not me so much, but my wife. No, just kidding. We both tell them things. They just soon not hear. And Tyler's 30 years old, and she's still telling him stuff he don't want to hear, you know? And I'm 50, and she's still telling me stuff sometimes. But anyway, that's another sermon. Amen. Glory to God. You only do that to people you love. I said, you only do that to people you love. You don't let people you love just go on down the road of destruction and not try to correct them and stop them and help them and speak things they don't really want to hear. So the writer here in Proverbs is saying, look, the Lord loves who he corrects as a father, the son in whom he loves. He delights in that son. And so he says, I want what's best for you. So I will correct some behaviors out of you and some actions out of you and some attitudes out of you. Because if I don't, you'll die. You'll die poor and you'll die soon. Amen. This okay? It's just what I felt led tonight. So don't despise the chastening. Don't be weary of his correction. Happy is the man, verse 13, that finds wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, he's happy. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Now stop there. The merchandise, that means what you gain from it. Gain from what? Let's go back. Wisdom and understanding. The merchandise you get from that, the product you get from wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. Everybody say understanding. Verse 14 says, the merchandise that you get from wisdom and understanding, it's better than the silver, and it's better than fine gold. What is? Wisdom and understanding. Okay, how do we get wisdom and understanding? Go back a verse. You got it. There it is. Go back one more. How do we get that wisdom and understanding? Correction. I don't know that I'm wrong until somebody tells me I'm wrong. I didn't know I was a sinner until I read the Bible. Didn't know. Some of y'all didn't know the Lord cared how you looked until we read the Bible this past month on Wednesday nights, got in there and dug in and said, this is what the Bible says about the way we appear. Didn't know that till we got in there and saw what the Lord, right? Until the Lord showed us. There's things that I know about myself that I wish I didn't know, and then there's things that I don't know about myself I wish I did know. But the thing that really matters is there's things that other people know that I don't know, and those are the things that I really need to learn. I need to know what other people know about me that I don't know. My wife has an open invitation to speak into her husband's life. If you see me doing something, if you see me acting a way, if you see me, and I tell her, she knows, if I get, you know, I'm human, I'm flesh, come on, I love all of you, but every once in a while, I get just a little bit in my flesh, I get just a little bit rough up here, I know that, I get that. And I tell her all the time, I need you to tell, you tell me. So you ought to be nice to her, by the way. Because she's the only one I've told that. No, I'm just kidding. Every one of the ministers in this church know that they can speak in to their pastor, and they can speak to me and be real with me, not publicly, obviously, but in private. They can take me in private and say, can I talk to you? And I want to hear that. I've got people in my life I'm accountable to, pastors in my life that I'm accountable to, that they know anytime they can call me. They can call me in an office. They can call me to their church. They can call, whatever. See something, feel something, the Lord tells you something, tell me. Because there are things that I don't know about me that somebody else knows about me. I really need to know about me. That's why you ought to love preaching. Because there's things about you that you have yet to even realize. There are things you don't know that you don't even know you don't know. You with me here? And the only way we learn them is when the voice of the Lord comes trumpeting from maybe from a pulpit or from a prophet or whatever into our lives, and we have those moments where we say, oh, I didn't even know that about myself. So if you'll spend your energy and your time and your effort trying to learn, ask people. Are you afraid to do this? Ask people. You see anything in me, brother? Is there anything? Please, now, don't ask them if you don't want them to tell you. That's not fair. Don't ask me to tell you, then get mad and run off over to Brother Noel's church or Brother Hill's church because I told you what you asked me to tell you. See, that's what happens sometimes. Pastor, you see anything in me? You tell me. I go tell you, and then you go, oh, it hurts my feelings. You run off to somebody else's church. Then you go, and then it soaks in, and you straighten up, and they get the benefit of it, see? So don't ask if you don't want the truth. But we should want the truth more than we're concerned with our own little feelings. We should want the truth. We doing okay? I really feel this tonight now. I hope you understand. This is, I know we're not shouting tonight, but this is what the Lord told me to say to you tonight. So he says, if you get correction, then you'll get wisdom and understanding. And the product, the merchandise of wisdom and understanding, oh, it's better than silver, and it's better than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou can desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. That's good. That's good stuff. Job, would you go with me to Job? 29. Now, just bear with me a little bit. You told me this morning it's still okay to read the Bible at church. So let me read a little bit, okay? Verse 1, Job continued his parable, and he said, now this is Job in the middle of his trial, okay? And he starts remembering the way it used to be. He said, oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me. It was before my children died. And when I washed my steps with butter and the rock poured me out rivers of oil, when everything I touched seemed to flourish, he says. And when I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, the young men saw me and hid themselves out of respect, and the aged would arise and they stood up out of respect to me. The princes refrained talking. They hushed themselves in my presence and laid their hand on their mouth just so they could hear what I had to say. This is how it used to be in the days of my youth. In days past, the nobles held their peace and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me, and when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me, because everybody wanted to hear what I had to say and everybody wanted to see how I did, because I delivered the poor that cried and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him, I helped them. And the blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. If I saw somebody in need, I just helped them. I blessed them, and I put on righteousness, and to clothe me, my judgment was as a robe and a diadem. I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out, and I brake the jaws of the wicked. I was a strong man, I used to be, and I plucked the spoil out of his teeth. Then I said, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. David said, in my prosperity, I said, we talk one way then. In my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Bless God. Hallelujah. And Job said, I shall die in my nest. I will multiply my days as the sand. My root was spread out by the waters, and the dew lay all night upon my branch. My glory was fresh in me, and my bow was renewed in my hand unto me. Men gave ear and waited and kept silence at my counsel. Everybody wanted to hear what I had to say. After my words, they spoke not again. Once I said it, there wasn't anything else to be said. And my speech dropped upon them, and they waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. If I laughed on them, they believed it not. If I scoffed at them, they just knew what I was laughing at was valid, and the light of my countenance they cast not down. I chose out their way and sat chief and dwelt as a king in the army, as one that comforteth the mourners. Can I say this and not offend you? I hope I can. But it sounds to me like Job was a little bit full of himself. I know. Have you considered my servant Job? He's perfect. He's upright. He escheweth evil. All this stuff going on. But God saw something else in Job too, I believe. And remember this morning I said, when God puts you on the burner and things start boiling, some stuff will start breaking loose that was down. It was pushed down in you, but it was in you. And when that flame is applied to your life, things become bubbling and boiling to the surface. And Job started talking about the way it used to be. I wish I was back then where it used to be. I would walk down the street and everybody watched me come. And watch me go. And I would open my mouth, Nate, and people would say, oh, shh, be quiet. Listen to Job. Now, was that a bad thing? Maybe not. But he liked it. He enjoyed it. He loved it. And now in his, see, here's what I think. I think in Job 29, Job still had some stuff to be worked out. And he's finally realizing some things about himself he didn't know about himself till he goes through the trial. Think about it. If everything you touch turns to butter, and every rock you see pours you out oil. He said, every time I made an investment, man, I'd drop a dime and I'd bend down and pick up a dollar. I accidentally dropped some seed on the ground, turn around, corn stalk growing up right there. Just I accidentally be prosperous. And I talk and people listen and I walk and people watch and they see me coming and they can't wait till I get there. And when I leave, they're sad because I left. A little bit full of himself. I'll go back there to verse 19, would you? Up on the screen. I'm sorry. I want the... Let me get up here. Sorry. Verse 18 is where I want to go. Now, here's what really gives me a window into his spirit. When he says, then, when? Before his trial, his kids were still living. He was still flourishing. He was still prosperous. In my prosperity, I said, why, I will die in my nest. Now, what does that mean? Job saying, what is a nest? Well, for the purpose of our discussion, a nest is a place where you gather. You dwell and you gather. Job's life, it was a big nest. And he was just all about gathering into his nest. He said, I'm going to gather up everything I can gather up. And now listen, I don't mean to say that Job was totally selfish. He wasn't. He prayed for his kids. He prayed for his family. God bragged on him so much the devil wanted to kill him. Huh? I'm not saying he was a bad person, but I'm saying even good people have some things that if you really put your hand, yourself in the hand of God, he'll say, you kind of be like that rich young ruler when he says, well, if you really want to be perfect, you do lack one thing. I could put my hand to you if you let me and I'll work some things out of you. And Job was so pliable, wanted to please God so much that he said, I really believe part of his prayer was, Lord, if anything in me, anything there. If you ever pray that prayer, Lord, if you see anything. We used to sing a song that kind of prayed that prayer. We stopped singing it for some reason. What was that song, Sister Cindy? If you see anything. Huh? If you see anything that shouldn't be, take it out and strengthen me. We used to sing those kind of songs and we stopped writing those kind of songs. I don't know why. Maybe because God listened to us. Lord, search me. Turn the searchlight of heaven on my soul. Those are good prayers. They're not easy prayers, but they're good prayers. You'll get wisdom and you'll get instruction and you'll get understanding. And the product of wisdom and understanding is better than gold. It's better than silver. It's better than money. So, put yourself in God's hands. Job said, I won't die in my nest. God said, I need to work that out of you. I'm going to gather and I'm going to live. He said, I'm going to multiply my days as the sand. In other words, I'm going to live a long time and gather a lot of stuff. Me and my family, and we're going to flourish and we're going to be blessed. And God said, you lack one thing. If you will be perfect here, I'm going to let a trial come into your life and you'll get some perspective. And we read the last chapter of Job and it's not the same Job we see in chapter 29. When Job finally reconciles with his friends and his trial lifts off of him and he says, God, I've heard of you by the hearing of my ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. There's been a change in me. I can tell you things come into our life that change us. I went in to the Bloomington Hospital October the 17th, 18th of 2014, one way. I promise you I came out a week later a different way. I don't see through the same eyeballs. I don't pray for sick people the same way I prayed for them before. I don't do hospital visitations, can I be honest with you? The same way I did them before, I used to walk into the hospital with this on my mind and that on my mind, and after I do this, I got to get here, and then I got to run here, and there, you know, I believe that God understands all that. I know he does. I'm a busy person. I got a lot of things going on, but after I was in the hospital, and after I saw what it was for people to visit, after I felt what it was like for people to pray for me, you know what I'm talking about? There's things that will change your perspective. So let me tell you this, if you're ever in the hospital and Brother Hawkins comes to pray for you, I didn't start praying for you the minute I walked in your door. Not Brother Hawkins now, not anymore, not the post heart attack Brother Hawkins. See, Brother Hawkins, that don't sound very good. Well, get real, you're the same way. You have things you can say, before this I was that way, after this I was that way. Before God let me go through that, I thought like this. But after God let me go through, and so God will sometimes hide his face from you so that you'll come out a different way. Amen. 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 God's good. God knows what he's up to when we don't know what he's up to. God knows what he's doing when we don't even understand what needs to be done. Job said, I'll die in my nest. I'm going to die old, full of days. And God said, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let's go to the potter's wheel here. Let's do a little work. We doing okay? I'm almost done. Can I take you to one more scripture? Yeah, I mean, it's a short one. Say amen if you let me. Okay, the rest of you get no vote. Go to Luke 12. Promise you, almost done. Luke 12. Show you this, and I'll let you go. Where do we want to go? Verse 16. The Lord gives them a parable, and he says, a ground of a certain man brought forth plentifully. You all know this parable. And he thought within himself, this man who had plenty, thought within himself saying, well, what shall I do? Because he had a problem. His problem was, I don't have enough room to put all my stuff. Poor guy, right? And he said, well, this is what I'll do. I will pull down my barns. I'll build greater barns. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Job said, I will dwell in my nest. I'll live to be an old man. David said, in my prosperity, I said, I'll never be moved. Now this man says, I know what I'll do. I'll build bigger barns, and there I'll put all my goods. And then after I get that all stored up, I'll be ready to just take it easy. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. So take your ease and eat, drink, and be merry. James tells us in chapter 4, you need to be very careful about your presumptuous planning. He says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow I will go into such a city, and there I will buy and sell and get gain, for as much as you know not what shall be on the morrow. You ought to say, he says, if the Lord will, then I'll do this or that. But he says, you don't even know. He says, your life's just a vapor. So fragile, so frail, so brief. Huh? Watch this. Soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. But God. God has to come along and mess it up. Let me tell you something. The times you feel like God is messing it up, he's really saving your soul. God doesn't mess anything up to make a mess. But every once in a while, we need our nest stirred. Come on, we need that nest. I'm going to die in my nest. I'm going to get this job. I'm going to get my education. I'm going to do this. And God says, you said you wanted my will in your life. I got to stir up your nest. And so God said unto him, thou fool, this night you're going to have a heart attack. This night you're going to have a stroke. This night you're going to be in a car wreck. This night, airplane going to crash. This night, you won't fall down some big old hole. You don't know. Today, I'm going to do this. Tomorrow, I'm going to do that. Next week, I'm going to do this. You don't even know what's on tomorrow. You better say, if the Lord will. If the Lord wills, this Friday, I'm getting in a car and driving to Florida. I sure hope he wills. But if he don't, I won't. Amen. I don't know. I might have another heart attack. I don't know. My wife might be down there in Florida all by herself looking for her next, well, maybe not that, but surely she'll mourn a week at least, you know. You never know, do you? She's got this big old insurance policy on me. I don't know, brother. Anyhow. Y'all be like, where'd Sister Hawkins go after the funeral? Didn't even go to the gravesite. Is this morbid? I'm sorry. My family's over there going, what in the world are you doing? I'm sorry. We're just talking. I'm not preaching. We're just talking. Thought I had a little latitude. All right. I told you, I better just be quiet. I may still go. I may still not go to Florida. She may still go by herself. No, my wife would fall to pieces if anything happened to me. That may not be true either. Probably in the middle somewhere there. She loves me, just not that much. You know, I'm just kidding. Come on now. Hey, quit it. I got to get back. We're at a serious point here. Y'all are getting carried away. Now, this is what the Lord said. He said, you're being foolish because this night your soul shall be required of thee. You're going to die. Then whose are all these things going to be which you've provided? And he says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. It all comes down to that. What's our priorities? Where are we laying up treasure? Will you stand with me? I'm getting out of here. I was doing pretty good up to that point. I thought I was. In my prosperity, I said. Best thing you'll ever do is put your hand, your life in the hand of God and just say, Lord, mold me, make me, and then trust him to do it. Don't tell him, mold me and make me, and then as soon as it gets uncomfortable, go hopping off of the potter's wheel. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? You're never going to become what you want to be and what God desires to make of you if you're constantly hopping off of the wheel. Every time it gets a little bit uncomfortable, we're hopping off the wheel. I didn't really mean that much, Lord. I didn't mean you. I didn't want you to change me that much. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Could you just get a hold of somebody for just a minute? I want to pray. I want us to pray for one another. I just feel like the Lord would have us to pray for each other. Because listen to me, the most important thing is that you go in the rapture. Do you agree with that? I mean, that comes before your education. It comes before your job. It comes before money. The most important thing is, and it's even before anything, is that you're right with your God. I want you to pray for one another right now that, Lord, just whatever you need to do, and Lord, would you just help me to be a help to my brothers and my sisters? Would you pray that right now? Lord, use me. God, I pray for my brothers and my sisters. Lord, I pray for my brother in the name of Jesus. God, this way is hard sometimes. And Lord, there's valleys that are deep and they're wide. Hallelujah, Lord. And there's times, God, that you hide your face from us. So I pray, Lord, in those times that you'd increase our faith. You'd keep us strong. You'd help us to lean not to our own understanding, but to trust you completely and totally, Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, help us to trust you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Listen, if you trust the Lord, begin to tell him right now. Begin to tell him, Lord, I trust you. I trust you with my life. I trust you with my plans. I trust you with my relationships. I trust you. I trust you to call me and direct me and to direct my steps, Lord, because I can't lean to my own understanding. I trust you, Lord. Let go of that person for a minute. I want you to pray for yourself for just a minute. Do you have the fortitude to pray, Lord, search me? God, know me. And God, if there's something in me that I need to know that I don't know, would you show me? Can you pray that prayer? That's a serious prayer, but it needs to be prayed. God, anything that's there, I may not see it, Lord. Even my secret faults, but Lord, I need to know. So help me, God. Show me and lead me and guide me and mold me and make me. Oh God, if I come up short, nothing's worth it, Lord. Nothing's worth my coming up short. God, if I've got an attitude that's going to cost me, show me today so you can save me tomorrow, Lord. Show me my ways. Reveal it unto me. Come on, would you pray that work on me prayer? Work on me, Lord. Work on me, God. Do a work in my life. I need to be better. I do. I need to do better. I need to do better, Lord. So don't give up on me, Jesus. Even when I don't feel it, even when I don't see it, I know you're working. I know you trust. I know I trust you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Job said, I don't know where he is. I can't find him. I can't locate him. I can't put my finger on what he's up to. But he said, he knows the way that I take. In other words, I don't know where he is. Even when he's hiding his face, I may not know where he is, but he knows where I am. He might hide his face, but he doesn't hide his eyeballs. He might hide his face, but he never withdraws his hand. His hand is not short. His promises are not slack. He's a good God. Don't doubt him. Don't doubt him right now. Some of you are going through trials. You're going through valleys. You're going through tests. I was just talking to a man the other day going through a trial right now, through a valley. He said, Brother Hawkins, you know, yeah, I've dealt with this. I've dealt with that. He said, but I want you to know my faith is strong. That's what counts. Now I'm not wavering in my faith. Amen. God bless you. Love you. You're just, hey, you know what? Is Isaiah? Come on up here, buddy. Jordan, why don't you come up? Let's get a picture. Aren't we excited for Isaiah? Got the Holy Ghost last Sunday. Got baptized this morning. We need a picture. Somebody get a picture for us, would you? Anybody have one of those smartphones or... Sister Shelley, you got it?
Praise the Lord. I'm proud of this boy right here, aren't you?
Amen.
Congratulations, Isaiah.
Between Isaiah's family and the accreditation committee today, we had 213 today. Isn't that awesome? We ought to be able to do that again next week. Amen. God bless you. And now you're dismissed in Jesus' name.